give Jesus a hand. Amen. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give your neighbor a high five, and you can go ahead and take your seats. Amen. Isn't our worship team amazing? Oh, my gosh. I love coming to church and just worshiping the Lord. I love the Lord so much, and I love our church. I do. I love each and every one of you, and I just want you to know that I'm a praying person. I pray for you. You know, you may think, oh, they don't even see me. No, we see you, and we know when you're not here, and we're praying for you. I just want to thank my husband again for allowing me to come behind this pulpit. I believe the pulpit is a holy, holy place, and I don't take it lightly, you know, but I do take humility, really, being up here and sharing the word of God with you this morning. And, you know, I believe that God has a word for us this morning. I've been praying. I've been seeking the Lord. I've been asking, God, what is it that you want us to hear? And what I'm going to be speaking about today is the vision and the process. The vision and the process. And how many know that with every vision, there's a process that we need to all go through? And sometimes that process is not an easy process. It's a very trying process that requires a lot of faith. Amen. And as a church here, we have a vision. And as a church, we must be intentional to focus our efforts and grow and in passionate to achieving not only the vision that we have here corporately, but personal. Tell your neighbor, God has a personal vision for you. Amen, Daniel. That's right. So this year, our scripture, if you don't know it, my husband actually shared it on Facebook, and I thought it was so appropriate to share this morning. It's in Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurable more that we ask for or imagine, according to the power that is working with us. So we must believe that God has the best in mind for VO Concord. Amen. He has the best in mind for not only our church here locally, but also for your life. You know what this Monday is. Does anybody know what Monday is? What is it? Martin Luther King Day. And how appropriate. I didn't even know that it was Martin Luther King Day until my husband told me. And I'm speaking on visions and dreams. Martin Luther King had a vision, and he had a dream. We find that this dream also was not just an ordinary dream. It was a dream that was going to alter our nation on segregation. But it didn't come at an easy price. Martin Luther King gave his life for what he believed in. This is a quote that he shared. He said, human process is neither automatic nor inevitable. Every step towards the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless extortions of passionate concern of dedicated individuals. Amen. So it's going to take dedicated individuals to make a dream come to pass. Amen. And with my opening scripture, it's found in Genesis 37:5. It says, Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaves rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word is already pure and perfect, my God. And I'm imperfect, God. So I pray for your grace and your anointing. I pray that every ear be open and hear what the Spirit of God has to say within our lives this morning. We pray that you continue to anoint the scriptures, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. So the first thing in having a dream and being called of God it always begins with a promise, right? So if ever you have a vision or you have a dream in life, we got to know that that dream always begins with either a thought or a promise, or something has triggered that dream or that passion that God puts in you. And here, God spoke to Joseph because he had a relationship with God. And we must also have a relationship with God to discover what God wants to do through our life. And I remember coming to the Lord as a young 18-year-old, and I had no clue what was going to happen in my life. But one thing that I learned how to do was pursue God. I didn't even care about anything but pursuing God. All I knew is that when I was 18, I was a hurting young woman, young lady that had gone through a lot of things, that I had a crazy brother in the streets and gangs, and I needed hope for my family. And I began to pray. I began to seek God. I began to cry out to God. I mean, I was so in love with God that I never hardly ate. I was constantly fasting like a crazy person. Just the hunger that I had for the Lord, you know, and that's where the promise began to happen in my life. I shared this story with the men's home that, you know, I had been fasting for a while, and I remember that. And why do these things happen, right? Right when you fast, why do they decide to cook tacos? No, they decided to do a convention, right, our church. And they said, Claudia, we want you to do the burritos at the convention. I'm like, man, I'm fasting for 7 days. I told the Lord I was going to fast. So I begin to fast, and there I am with my friend, right, giving us each other a high five, encouraging one another. You can make it. You can do it. Let's do this burritos for Jesus. And I remember just like, oh, my God. But something happened in my life that day that changed my whole entire life. I'm sorry, my throat. I had a dream. So appropriate, right? I had a dream. And I had gone to sleep with my friend. You know, we were staying at somebody's house across the street from the convention center. And I go to sleep, and I have this dream. And in this dream is my brother. And my brother was he's in gangs, he's in drugs, he's messed up. We're in the mission in the 90s, where everybody's shooting everybody, killing everybody. And I'm like, I hated that lifestyle. I had no hope. I didn't know what was going to happen, if he was going to be next, because all his homies were dying. So anyways, I have this dream, and in this dream, I'm at a funeral. I'm in a second story. I'll never forget. I'm in a second story looking down, looking at my family. All my family was there. Everybody. I mean, everybody was there. And I'm looking, I'm like, well, who's in a casket? And, I realize that it's my brother. My brother is in the casket. And then I hear a voice said to me, is it really worth serving God? And I woke up, and I mean, I was in tears. And I told my friend, you know what? I wiped my tears. I was, you know what? I go, why is he threatening me? Why is the devil so threatened by me that he would tell me, I'm going to take what you care about so much, I'm going to take it from you if you serve God. I'm like, man. You know, I'm not like a go to the streets, you know, punch people and hit people, but boy, inside, I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. Don't mess with me in the spirit. So I began to just say, what on earth am I going to do for Jesus? Why is the devil so threatened by me, by my call? And I knew that moment that if the devil was trying to come and mess with me that way, God had something great for my life. Amen. Embrace your trials. Embrace them, because you never know what God wants to do through your life. Amen. So God spoke to Joseph because he had this relationship with God. We must also have a clear vision from God, what he's called us to do here in our church corporately and individual. And we need to write it down and pray for it and believe God for it to come to pass. You know, God will give us individual callings. God will give us individual purposes. But we need to know that we need to pray. We need to have that communication with God. That's what, you know, when the enemy comes and lies to you and tells you, you're never going to do that. You're never good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good. How many hear that? I hear that sometimes. Actually, a lot. He tells me, you're not good enough. You're good for nothing. What are you going to do? You know? I'm like, man, shut up, devil. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? We can do all things through Christ who is our strength. Habakkuk 2:2 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets that he may run that reads it. When God gives you a vision, he will give you a word. And when he gives you a word, you need to write that word down, because that's what's going to help you get through those trials. That's what's going to help you through your process, is that promise that God wants to give you. Amen. We have a promise too. You know, God has given me many promises. I was sharing this morning in our life group. I'm going to plug it in. I get to. So we're going to be having a life group. It's the 21 days of prayer. Make sure you sign up for my life group. But, you know, God gave me a promise for my brother, because I remember, actually, no, it's the wrong person, for my son, because my son was running wild too. Oh, my God, what's up with my family? He was going crazy. He's not here today, so I can mess with him. He was going crazy. He loved to get high. He's always getting high. You know, but, you know, when you get high, things follow you. It's not just getting high. The people that are getting high with you, not only that, you end up in places that you're, holy Lord, how did I end up in here? It's because you want to get high. That's what happened with my son. He ended up places like, my God, they're going to kill you, dude. It's not worth the weed. Get a hold of God. He can deliver you, right? But God gave me a promise for my son, because he kept getting in trouble and trouble and trouble running the streets. And the Lord gave me a word, and the word was that my eyes would see the glory of God. My eyes were going to see the glory of God. So praise God, because when my son turned 18 years old, for 4 or 5 years, I went through it with that boy. That boy was crazy. Oh, my God. One time he came home, he's doing this and flipping, and I have never seen him high like that before. And he comes and he says, I'm in hell, Mom. I just want to die. He was so lost. He says, I'm here, but I'm really in hell with Satan. I don't even know how he got to our door. The grace of God. I said, no, you ain't. You are not in hell. You are a child of the living King. I had to leave. He made me leave because I couldn't take it. But I went and prayed, and I went to seek God and believe God for my son. Believe God for the promise that God gave me. And that's what we got to do as the church. When all hell breaks loose, you got to believe God for those promises. Amen? The call is always confirmed. It says Joseph had two dreams. They were both similar, which is double confirm of the call of God in his life. You'll see it in Genesis 37:5 in the beginning when I started with the opening scripture. And we also see it in Genesis 37:9. It says, then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you're having, right? Will your mother and I both and your brothers actually come down and bow down to the ground to you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in secret. So when God calls us, the second thing is there'll always be confirmation, you know. If I came here and I said, you know, I'm called to sing, and my voice cracks, you know, and I'm like, I know I'm called to sing, right? I'm going to sing, and I go to Sister Victoria, my daughter. I go, so what do you think? Can I join worship? And she's like, I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't think you're called to sing, because you can't sing. I'm like, she's just messing with me. Let me go ask Sister Rosa. Where's Rosa? Rosa will tell you the truth, man. Rosa back there, she'll tell you the truth. Sister Rosa, ¿puedo cantar? Me va a decir Rosa, no, no, tú no puedes cantar nada. Basically, she's going to say no. I go, Sister Rosa, can I sing? She's going to say, no, you can't sing nothing. Right, because Rosa's honest. She'll tell me the truth. So that's a double confirmation that I am not called to sing. It's important because, see, we don't want to put our efforts into something that God has not called us to do. And sometimes I see such wasted time in people's lives where they're like, man, I'm called to be an engineer, or I'm called to, and there's nothing wrong with that. I strongly believe in education. I strongly believe in bettering yourself, but it's not for everybody. You know, some people are called to do that. Yes, they're called for, and we're going to get into it, why they're called to do that. But some people are not called to do that. And some people want to be evangelists, but they don't even talk. How can you, how can you say you're an evangelist? You can't even witness, you know, and, you know, so it has to be confirmed. So when you have a calling in your life, we all got a calling. That the thing is discovering what that calling is. Amen. So sometimes we get kind of caught up in the moons and the stars, and we're all off. But we need to have confirmation, because you don't want to waste your life on something that it's not gonna benefit you. It's not what you are designed to be. Amen? Are you guys getting something? Amen. So, okay, so the next thing is the call will test our character. Joseph lacked wisdom and was arrogant, causing frustration to his brothers. Because of his ignorance and arrogance, of Joseph's pride and a flawed character led his brothers to conspire to kill him, to be jealous and sell him and lie to their father. See, sometimes we may be going through difficult things in our life, and we're going through this process that God allows us to go through because we're so raw. Everybody say, we're so raw. We're so raw. And you guys could come and talk with me, amen? So we're raw, you know. We're people that sometimes are not ready for what we want. Sometimes we want to do these things, but we're not ready. And instead of building stuff, we're going to destroy it. And Joseph, he had a call of God in his life. But the thing with Joseph, his character did not measure the call. He wasn't ready. He was ignorant. He was prideful. He was jealous. He was dealing with a bunch of things, you know, in his life where it caused him to get in some trouble with his family. You know, God will use people in our life to test us and to grow us. Joseph was tested. He had a choice to either go through the process or fight the process. And sometimes that's what the Lord will do. He'll put you in the men's home. Get the men's home, right? And you either have a choice to fight the process or embrace it. If you embrace that process, man, who knows what God's going to do with your life? It's going to be amazing. It's worth it. It's worth the process. It's worth going through it. Maybe not at the moment. You know why not? Because you got to kill this. You got to kill the flesh. I always tell people, do the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Because our flesh, it don't like to submit. Our flesh don't like to do anything, actually. If our flesh could have its way, it'd just lay down all day long, do nothing. Right? You'll get nowhere. But God uses people to test us. God is going to use the men's home to test each other. God's going to use even family members to test you, to test your faith. What are you doing in that church, they'll ask. And all of a sudden, they're interested. Why? Because God is doing something in your life, and he's testing you. He's testing your faith. So Joseph was tested. He had a choice to grow through it and fight through the process. In this process, we're gonna learn a couple of things. Is that our love for God in hardship will it keep us? It needs to keep us. When we love God, we're gonna go through hardship. We're gonna go through hardship no matter what. You're either gonna go through it without God, or you're gonna go through it with God. I'd rather go through it with God than without God. Amen. Because I've been in places where I have gone through some stuff without God. And I tell you, I have no peace. I'm depressed. I'm suicidal. I'm thinking crazy thoughts. I'm thinking of killing people. Yeah, that was me. I would think crazy things like that. Running away, which I did. All kinds of crazy things, right? We do all kinds of dumb things. And then later we're like, man, I wish we didn't do that, right? Doesn't it sometimes mess up, amen? So we're either going to embrace the process, you know. In Corinthians 4, 8 through 9, in the New Living Translation, the Apostle Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Everybody says, not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're not in despair. Say, not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Everybody said, we're not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. God's this, amen. We will not be destroyed. If you're going through things right now, you got to fall at the feet of Jesus. You are not destroyed. You are not struck down. You got a great God that's on your side, and he's going to get you through those things, amen. You got to learn to fight. You know, we don't fight like the world fights. We got to fight with our spiritual punching gloves, you know. He'll come and lie to you, man. Oh my God, the devil's so good at lying. Remember what happened to Adam and Eve? That's how good he is. And he comes and does the same thing to us, and we're like dummies, take a bite of the apple too. Right? Haven't you? Stop judging Eve. You did the same thing. You take a bite of the dumb apple. You know, whatever that is, that temptation, that guy, that girl, the things that you're not supposed to be doing. You know, the lies that nobody will know. Jesus knows. Oh, it doesn't matter. It matters to God. You know, we take a bite of those apples. We think we're going to be okay. Oh, just a little weed, I'll be fine. No, you can't be fine with a little weed. You know, God is the healer of anxiety. You don't need weed. Do you think I don't have anxiety? I have a heck of anxiety sometimes. What do? I start singing, praying, taking a shower, whatever it takes to get that anxiety out of me. I have to trust God. The problem why we, I don't know why I'm talking about weed, but the problem why we have so much weed, because we don't have enough of Jesus. Right? Uh-oh. It's quiet in here. God can take care of our anxiety. He's our strength. He's our peace. He's our comforter. All we need is a relationship with him. He's our healer. He created us. Don't you think he knows what we need? He knows what we need. Amen. I got it. That subject. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. God gots it. God gots our trials. He's putting us through the process. Through the process of overcoming, he's making you stronger. He's making you better. That's what he's doing. That's the process that God is putting. Why are you going through hardship? Because he's putting you through that. He's allowing you to go through that. That's what happened with, I forgot what I'm talking about, Joseph. That's what happened to Joseph. He was going through the process, man. He was going through it. But he went through it. He went through it. He grew through it. So God had him, amen? The second thing is we need to have integrity and purity, and we need to be devoted to God. Are we willing to grow through that kind of process? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing perfect will. Joseph's integrity caused him to be in prison for years. But God didn't forget Joseph. That was part of the process. See, as you study the story of Joseph, it says that he was a very handsome man, super handsome. And you're like, oh, I'm handsome. Well, he was a super handsome man, it says, right? And it says that Potiphar's wife had an eye for him. He was good looking. He was working in his master's house, you know, minding his own business, being a man of God. And it says that, the Bible goes on to say that she kept trying to seduce him, trying to come with me, come to my room, trying to seduce him. And one of those, she literally got a hold of him. And you know what he did? Say what he did. He ran. He did what every young man should do. If a woman tried to seduce you, you better run. It's all trouble. Especially a married woman. Oh, my God, what a mess. So she lies about it. She lied about it, right? And the Bible's full of drama, right? Sounds like a soap opera. But it's true. It's what happened. The Bible, that's what the Bible says. So she lies about it. Oh, pura novelas. Oh, my God. So she lies about it. And the husband comes home. And, oh, man, you better not tell your husband. Someone try to do something to you, he will flip. This man flipped. He went crazy berserk. He did what? I'm going to put him in jail. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. All because he wanted to be pure. He wanted to be right with God. See, it's not easy being right with God. It requires us crucifying the flesh. He could have easily just said, all right, let me just go mess around. No one's going to know. God knows. He had integrity. He was a man of God. He knew there was a calling in his life. When you're a man of God and there's a calling in your life, you have integrity. He had integrity. And, you know, I really encourage you to read, you know, the story of Joseph, because it's such a beautiful story. So many things in there I wish I could share. But Joseph's integrity cost him to be years in jail for no reason. But God didn't forget Joseph. It was all part of the plan. Everybody says part of the plan. Part of the process. It was unfair and injustice made to him. And you would think that's over. No, there is more. Boy, this guy went through so much. Not only is he put in jail, and as I was reading, it says the conditions that he was in was not a good condition. They put a metal thing on his neck, tied up his feet, and they made him a servant. So his job was to serve the guys in jail. That was pretty low, right, for a prince? For a guy that had everything to be stripped to that point? Man, that's pretty low. It's pretty low. It really touched my heart, the humility that Joseph had. So humbly, he was faithful, and he began to serve. And in one of those instances in jail, two guys have a dream about different things, you know. And Joseph was a man of God. So God gave him insight in these dreams. So they interpret the dreams, and one of the dudes, so was supposed to come back. How many remember your friends that are supposed to come back and they don't come back? Man, they leave you to the cold. He was supposed to come back, and he doesn't come back. What kind of guy, what kind of friend is this? He forgets about him. And if he would have told the king the dream that Joseph had in jail, Joseph would have been let go out of jail. But because he forgot, he was there two more years. And he's done absolutely nothing. So, the call will always require you to be tested. Amen. We're going to go through different testings in our lives. And I'm getting ready to almost close, okay? So the call is always not easy. I want to share the scripture, and it's found in Philippians 3:14. And where you're going through it, remember this scripture. It says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus. Joseph never quit. He continued in relationship with God regardless of his situation that he was placed in. We have to press. You know, when you press, it's with you know, when you press something, you got to press it hard. You know, you got to push it back hard when you're pressing at something. You know, when I think of pressing, you know, what is a good idea of pressing some, I don't know, pressing the garbage down? Garbage down, you know, it's hard, kind of a pain pressing your garbage can down, right? You're pressing it down because you want to stick more junk on top, right? So when we're going through it, you got to press hard. You can't be weak. You got to press hard. You got to press hard. You got to press hard. You know why you got to press hard? Because there's someone on the other side. You're fighting for someone on the other side. So you have to press hard with all your might. When all hell breaks loose, you're going to press hard because you're thinking of someone else. That's what we got to do. That's what I had to do. You think it was easy being in church? It wasn't easy. It is beautiful, yes. I went through some stuff too. You're going to go through some stuff. There's no perfect church. There isn't. Ask me why. Because you're not perfect. None of us are perfect. If there was a perfect church, we would all be there. But there isn't. There isn't a perfect church. There's faults everywhere. Any church you go to. The important thing here is that we have to remember that we're called to press on, to move forward. And you have to have a purpose while you're pressing on. What, you know, it's like if you're studying, if you're competing in the Olympics, you're not going to go to Palm Springs to go hang out when the guys are busting themselves to be in the Olympics. If you go to the Olympics, you're going to fail. You're going to fall on your face. You're going to be an embarrassment, a catastrophe, an accident, terrible. Why? Because they didn't care. They didn't press in. I have something to tell you. This works. God works. If people say God don't work, it's because they don't work. They don't put any work in it. If God has called you, you got to put some work in it. You got to get in there with God. You got to get in there with prayer. You got to get in there with P3. You got to get in there. You got to get in there with God. That's how things work in the house of God. God is our healer. God can heal us. We can get over our past. We can do all things through Christ. We could do it. The last part that I want to share on is the call is always for others. We are the body of Christ, and we all have been called of God to edify the body. That's where you're going to find these things when you join our P3 Passion, Purpose, and Place track. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, we are one body with many parts. The human body has many parts, but there are many parts that make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. We are all called to the body of Victory Outreach Concord. There's a group of us, hopefully all of us, that we've realized that God has brought us here. So we're part of this body. And in this body, there's a lot of members. There's a lot of parts. We cannot function without the members. We cannot function without you. Joseph was called for a purpose, to save his family and generation to follow. So are we called for a purpose, to serve others, to serve in the church, in our community, in our family, in our generations to come. You know what keeps me going? You know, in anything you do for your life, you gotta have a goal. If you don't have a goal, you're going to be all over the place. But when you have a goal in life, it's easy to keep going. My goal was my children. I was like, I don't want them to live the life that I live. My parents throwing pans at each other. What is that? What kind of life is that? Cussing at each other all day long. Never seen my mother. She's a great woman now. Don't tell her. She comes to tell her. Don't she? I love her. But, you know, my father at the bar all day long. He's supposed to be babysitting us. He's at the bar. Who's at the bar all day? My brother running in the street. Me doing whatever I want. I have it, everything I wanted. They provided money, but no discipline. You got to have a goal. My parents ended up, of course, divorce. Like probably a good percentage of our parents. I don't want that for my life. If I could prevent it, I will. That was my goal. I didn't want to have a life repeated by that generation. I needed to break the curse of the generation curse that was upon my family. I'm like, I don't want that for my kids. I don't want that for my marriage. I don't want this kind of life. And I thank Jesus for Victory Outreach. Victory Outreach, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why do I love the men's home? I love the men's home. I love the men's home. And I love women's homes too. Because a guy from the men's home came to tell me about Jesus. We were in college. What was the men's home guy doing in college? They gave him a job at the college. Imagine that. He had a job. That's favor. See? God is going to open doors for you guys. You just do the right thing. This man came and shared about the love of God to him and I. We were running away from him, Commander John. And he told us about Jesus. If I can start getting the worship up. He told us about Jesus and how God could change our life. What motivates us? Will we answer the call that God has for our life individually? It's okay to go through stuff. It's okay to go through it because you're in preparation. You're in preparation of your blessing. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. God wants, you know what? Maybe you do have a failed marriage. Maybe we have kids everywhere. Maybe, you know, it's not a fairy tale life for you. I got good news for you. It's never too late. Amen. It's never too late. God is a God of order. If you give your life to Him, He's able to give you the desires of your heart. He's able to restore relationships that you never thought could be restored. I hated my dad, I gotta be honest. I absolutely hated my dad. I had no relationship with my father. And I had every right to hate him because he's so crazy. Get me annoyed. But God changed my heart. Is he the same? Yeah, he's still crazy. But God changed me. And I have a relationship with my dad. And I love him. I'm able to call him. I'm going to say, hey, Dad, how are you? What's up? Okay, 5-minute call. But I call my dad. I have no bitterness towards him. God changed my life. I had to go through a process in my life. God gave me a vision that, you know, that he was going to use us to be pastors. We went through a process. We went through many trials, many testings. You know that they even offered to get us out of Concord? They offered us a church. But no. We said no. Because we heard from God. Because we're praying people. And that's what we got to do. And can we all stand? So what is the vision for your life? God has a calling and a purpose for each and every one of us. And it, young and old, he's no respecter of persons. Look at, this guy was only 17 years old. You know, maybe if he wasn't so arrogant, he might have did, things might have went a different way. But God needed to put Joseph through a process because he had a purpose. And his purpose was to reach his family. Some of us are called here, and your purpose is to reach your family. Your purpose is to reach your place of employment, maybe. Your purpose is maybe to be a deacon or pastor, an associate pastor in this church. Your purpose could possibly be to go around the world and preach the gospel. Not me, you say. Oh, yeah. Those are the ones God calls. Those that say, no way, not me. Yes, you. Nothing is impossible with God. And the Bible says that he chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. We're foolish. You know? It don't matter. It don't matter if you're educated or not educated. It don't matter to Jesus. Do you love God? That's what matters. And he wants to use our life. And this morning, I want to sing a song, and then we'll be opening the altars in a minute.
Jesus at the center of it all.